Decision Wisconsin coverage continues. This is overnight coverage of a 2024 presidential election. Now, here to bring you through the entire evening, here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
And thanks for taking the time out of your maybe busy night. A lot of people watching, home watching election coverage, and choosing the radio is also a good choice. And I am joined in studio by James Whitterson, conservative writer, and my friend Joseph Pecky. James is also my friend. I keep forgetting that.
Is there anybody listening? I got a text coming in.
Oh, yeah, we got texts coming in. Some of them are you don't want to hear about.
I said I want to read my mail.
A lot of people call me stronger. A lot of people call me a rhino. How do you...
You've been called worse.
I have been called worse. Yeah, much, much worse. You know, it's an interesting thing. We can talk about it if you want. James, anybody who didn't like Donald Trump is immediately called a rhino.
Yeah, I always found that funny because the people that actually adhered to the principles of the Republican Party are the ones that are called the Republicans in name only.
Wow, that's old-fashioned now, James.
Yeah, I know. And then the ones that didn't adhere to the principles of the Republican Party and embrace Donald Trump, they're now the true-believing Republicans. I've never understood that. It's just one of those things where, I get told I'm not a conservative anymore because I voted for Harris. And I sit there and I shake my head and I go, I'm the last conservative that Wisconsin has.
That's a good point. I'm sort of amazed, and I don't know how much time we're going to have before the president-elect here, Donald Trump, looks like. And Pennsylvania has now been called for him by at least a couple of the networks. So they're on standby. The stage is lit. The crowd is gleeful, I will say, and probably in some cases drunk. Since they've been there a while, these rallies are fun, and I've been at both the winners and the losers ones, and they are something to watch. And most people never get a chance to see that stuff. It is sort of fascinating. So you've been around politics forever, and you're not even that old.
Yeah, he just called me old.
Yeah. And you're middle-aged.
Yeah, the hair's grayer than it used to be.
Not that gray, though. You're doing good. So much of this stuff now is confrontational, right? And mm-hmm. politics has always sort of been that. But when Republicans are chewing at each other and Democrats and Republicans are going at it, it's sort of replaced what I think would be a more interesting conversation where we can actually sort of fix things or actually pass legislation that's productive and not just, throw lobs, hand grenades and lob hand grenades over a wall at each other. I think it's sort of destroyed our process, at least to get things done. I mean, do you agree?
I do. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago and sort of what the defining moment was where it became more about winning than getting things done. And, I'm sure listeners will disagree with this, but I believe that for some time now, the two political parties in this country have played by a different set of rules. Republicans have been more focused on winning at any cost. Democrats have tried to be responsible. Once again, a Democratic president is going to hand a solid to strong national economy to a Republican president. And if Donald Trump is a man of his word, what he's going to do is launch a global trade war. His own, consigliere, Elon Musk, is saying there's going to be temporary hardship. And the economic pain that people are going to feel is going to be real. And so whenever the worm turns again, it'll be a lousy economy, and Democrats will have to clean it up, and round and round we go.
What if that's not the case? What if the economy continues to do well?
I hope it does. I genuinely hope it does. I cannot underscore enough. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that my measure of the character of Donald John Trump, I hope that what I have seen with my eyes and heard with my ears is not what's going to come to pass. I hope that. But if I'm right, buckle up, America.
We are waiting for the former president, now soon to be president-elect Donald Trump, to take the stage in Florida. There's a huge crowd there. And this can't be Mar-a-Lago. This has got to be some other facility.
Probably not.
Yeah, and that's not his home or anywhere close to that. It looks like a convention center, to be honest. So that's going to happen. We're going to carry it live because if this indeed is the next president of the United States, 47 after being elected.
And I'll just pre-sign off that for listening. Because if he starts, he might not be done till the sun comes up. And I'm not going to sit here and listen to that.
I'm really fascinated to see what he is going to say.
Because I'm old enough to remember. In 2016, when he finally came out at 1 a.m, he was as surprised as anybody. You could tell he was like, cowed by the moment, and it was the most reserved we ever saw him. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not the version we're getting tonight.
You think he just goes all crazy?
I don't know. I hope not.
I think it's going to sound a lot like his inauguration speech in 2017.
American carnage.
American carnage. I think you're going to hear it, and we're all going to have the same reaction that George W. Bush did at the time. I can't say it on the radio.
That was some weird stuff.
Yeah, he didn't use the word stuff. I can't imagine that you're going to see a sudden change in character where you're going to see a kinder, gentler Donald Trump tonight.
I'm not expecting that. It's just at some point.
Maybe you're asking him to behave presidential.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm asking.
He has not behaved presidential in an entire four-year term. He has not behaved presidential in the time that he, between that term and the time he ran for president now. He's not behaved presidential during an entire campaign. Anybody who expects him to behave presidential has not been paying attention.
All right, Joel, we're waiting for the former president. Give me your parting thoughts, and then we'll send you off to bed.
I hope I'm wrong. We could be in for a very dark couple of years in this country where people that you love and care about have additional rights and freedoms stripped away from them, where the fundamental nature of the greatest idea the world ever had, which was representative self-governance, becomes a thing of the past, and it's not going to happen all at once. Nobody's going to flip a light switch and we go from a democracy and a constitutional republic to an authoritarian regime. That's not how that works. But even tonight, we saw additional creepage of authoritarian tendencies. When Eric Hovde refuses to let a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter who is beyond reproach into his party, that is a sign that, you know, the fish rots from the head, and Trump joking about reporters being shot, it runs downhill, and Eric Hovde thinks that's an acceptable choice to make. And so whether it's the erosion of, you know, a truly independent media, whether it is, you know, like we saw from the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos, where you sort of preemptively bow to someone with authoritarian tendencies, this could get very, very dark very, very quickly. And that is why I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I love this country. I will never stop loving this country. But I have to say that I am surprised at what has become of my country tonight. And that's just something I'm going to have to wrestle with.
Always appreciate you, Joe Zepecki. We'll talk on Friday with our colleague, Bill McCaution. And I may try to get Bill on the phone tonight just to see where he's at. But as always, appreciate your wisdom. And
appreciate you both. And let me just say real quick, like, especially to James, there have been heroes that have emerged in the last couple of years. It takes genuine courage to stand up to your own side and say, this is not the way. And James and I don't know each other real well. I think a few years back we did a panel together, but I've always admired and respected your ability to speak the truth. And that's, you know, we're going to need more of that in the days ahead. And so to everybody, including people on my side, when your side is wrong, call them out, stand up to them. That is, you know, that is the bravest thing you can do, and we're going to need some of that going forward. So thank you, James.
Oh, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
James Wignerson, Steve Scafidi, Joe Zepecki signing off. We're going to take a break. We're getting very close to the president-elect. I think we can call him that, right? Because he's going to be 47, looks like. Donald Trump, his speech coming up, hopefully, right after the break on 620 WTMJ. You're listening to Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ, sort of a late night edition. And when I volunteered for this, I did it for a couple of reasons. James Wignerson alongside as well. We had Joe Zepecki in studio for an hour or so. I wanted to give people a chance to sort of weigh in, and we're going to do that throughout the next few hours. 855-616-1620 is the WTMJ talking text line. Questions or comments, how you're feeling? Probably not going to take calls in the near hour or so, because we're waiting at this moment for President 45, President-elect Donald Trump, to hit the stage in Florida. And somebody said it was a community center. That's kind of sort of what it looks like. It's a bigger venue than Mar-a-Lago, I think. At least that's my understanding. West Palm Beach, Trump headquarters. So he's got a big headquarters down there, James. We talked earlier about what he might say. I'm just fascinated by what this speech is going to be, because I've seen, I've watched so much of the rallies, James. I've seen his comments. I've seen how it's expanded political rhetoric beyond anything I would have ever imagined. And maybe I'm naive, but the things he said, the attacks that he's made on his opponents and people he doesn't like, it's sort of unprecedented. And people, every time I say that to a historian, they go, well, you know, back, you know, 200 years ago, it was pretty nasty. Was it that bad?
Well, I don't think it was this childish. It was, I mean, it was pretty bad at times. And you had the whispering campaigns, and you had the, at that time, you had a partisan media where you had Democratic and Republican newspapers or Federalist newspapers at the time. And you could always look back at various periods in our history where Abraham Lincoln, for example, was portrayed as an ape in one cartoon. And I mean, you just run through the list. But what you're seeing from the president himself, I think, is unprecedented. The childishness, the name calling, the general behavior, the rambling. If you were a radio host, they would have fired him because they would have run out of commercial breaks, or he would have run through his commercial breaks with his rambling and said, but I'm doing the weave.
But you say that, James, and I sample a lot of talk radio, and I see these same things echoed in how radio hosts, some, not all, act on the air. And whether it's one thing following the other, or just the example set by the highest office in the land that sort of unleashes the dogs where you can say anything, you see it on social media. You and I both have been attacked relentlessly on social media. It's one of the reasons I really can't stay on Twitter anymore, because it's really not worth the investment of time and energy, because I actually use it as a work platform, for me to engage in this stuff. And at some point, I've kind of had enough of it. And one of my fears about this next 4 years is that we have an acceleration even beyond where we're at now. And that to me, that dangerous rhetoric is dangerous for a lot of reasons that play out not just in words, but in actions.
But when you criticize it, this is what you hear from the Republicans.
Yes.
You hear, oh, you're just mad at his mean tweets, and you're being a rhino because you're not supporting his policies. When the reality is, his policies are just as frightening as his tweets. And his behavior in office is going to be much more frightening than it was before. It's not just the rhetoric. It's the behavior as well. The way he conducts himself in office, the firing people by tweet, going to his chief of staff, wondering if they can just shoot protesters in the legs, his threatening of broadcast stations' licenses because they happen to be critical of him in a news segment. I mean, those types of things, they're not good for a president of the United States to be saying. It's not good for the country.
You talked earlier about Mary Spicuzza, a friend of the show, has been on the show. She was on recently as last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago. Not allowed to go to an event as a credentialed member of the media. Here's my next fear, is if we start sort of eliminating people who are critically reviewing the conduct of elected officials, and that news becomes filtered by advocacy journalists, or frankly, the other new thing is journalists are just paid by the campaigns, essentially, or the parties. Where are we getting the truth from? Are we just going to take it from what the elected officials say?
Well, I want to say this about Mary. I've met Mary. She's one of the most mild people that you would ever run into.
Absolutely.
The idea of somebody going, you can't come into this event, to her, it's saying that to her and to her face is just shocking to me. Even if you disagree with her reporting, it's just getting up the nerve to be so mean to somebody that is really such a mild personality. I can't imagine who was given that responsibility by the Hovde campaign to say that to her. But beyond that, I mean, it is kind of, you should be inviting the press in whether or not you agree or disagree with them. You should be inviting them in I don't care if they're the partisan media. I don't care if it's a Republican event and it's a Democratic newspaper that wants to come in and report on it. You should invite them all in. They should all be there to cover it, because you have something to say. If you're elected senator of Wisconsin, you're elected senator for all of Wisconsin, not just the people that voted for you.
That is sort of the new reality for some politicians. The people that supported me, I'm your guy. And the rest of you, well, I might answer your email, but with a form email. We are getting news that the president-elect, in this case, Donald Trump, is taking the stage in Florida, apparently the Palm Beach Convention Center. Someone lets me know. We will go to that, and if necessary, James and I will come back at some point. But I want to hear now from the president-elect of the United States, President 45, soon to be President 47. There he is, Donald Trump. President is introducing his family to the audience. His son's got to be 6'8", James. His son towers over him now. First Lady Melania Trump. President approaching the podium. His sons walking by and their families. Some of the supporters of the president on stage as well. Probably more flags, James, than I've seen at an event. They just constantly up the flag total.
And after a while, it becomes like a bad background.
Yeah, they all sort of blend together. A lot of the people in the crowd, of course, recording it on their smartphones. Big American flag behind the president. Big sign, Trump will fix it. Well, we'll find that out come January and what that fix might look like. He's speaking to his supporters at his headquarters in Florida. He has gone over the number needed for electoral votes to be the next president of the United States, which would be 47. As the song wraps up, former president-elect Donald Trump.
Thank you all very much. This is great. These are our friends. We have thousands of friends in this incredible movement. This was a movement like nobody's ever seen before. And frankly, this was, I believe, the greatest political movement of all time. There's never been anything like this in this country, and maybe beyond. And now it's going to reach a new level of importance because we're going to help our country heal. We're going to help our country heal. We have a country that needs help, and it needs help very badly. We're going to fix our borders. We're going to fix everything about our country. And we made history for a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy? But it's a political victory that our country has never seen before, nothing like this. I want to thank the American people for the extraordinary honor of being elected your 47th president and your 45th president. And to every citizen, I will fight for you, for your family, and your future. Every single day, I will be fighting for you, and with every breath in my body, I will not rest until we have delivered the strong, safe, and prosperous America that our children deserve and that you deserve. This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have. This is a magnificent victory for the American people that will allow us to make America great again. And in addition to having won the battleground states of North Carolina, I love these places, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, we are now winning in Michigan, Arizona, Nevada, and Alaska, which would result in us carrying at least 315 electoral votes. But but it's much easier doing what the networks did or whoever called it, because there was no other path. There was no other path to victory. We also have won the popular vote. That was great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Winning the popular vote was very nice. Very nice, I will tell you. It's a great feeling of love. We have a great feeling of love in this very large room with unbelievable people standing by my side. These people have been incredible. They've made the journey with me, and we're going to make you very happy. We're going to make you very proud of your vote. I hope that you're going to be looking back someday and say that was one of the truly important moments of my life, when I voted for this group of people beyond the president, this group of great people. America has given us an unprecedented and powerful mandate. We have taken back control of the Senate. Wow, that's great. And the Senate races in Montana, Nevada, Texas, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania were all won by the MAGA movement. They helped so much. And in those cases, every one of them, we worked with the senators. They were tough races, and I mean, the number of victories in the Senate was absolutely incredible. And we did tele-rallies. We did tele-rallies with each one of them. And sometimes we did two or three for, and it was amazing to look at all of those victories. Nobody expected that. Nobody. So I just wanted to thank you very much for that. And we have, you have some great senators and some great new senators. And it also looks like we'll be keeping control of the House of Representatives. And I want to thank Mike Johnson. I think he's doing a terrific job. Terrific job. I want to also thank my beautiful wife, Melania, First Lady. Who has the number one best-selling book in the country. Can you believe that? No, she's done a great job, works very hard to help people. So I just want to thank her. But I want to thank my whole family, my amazing children, and they are amazing children. Now, we all think our children are amazing. Everybody here thinks their children are amazing, but that's a good thing when you think they are. But Don, Eric, Ivanka, Tiffany, Barron, Laura, Jared, Kimberly, Michael, thank you all. What a help. My father-in-law, Victor, is tremendous, and we miss very much Melania's mother, Amalia. We miss Amalia, don't we, huh? She would be very happy right now, standing on this stage. She'd be so proud. She was a great woman, that one. Beautiful inside and out. She was a great woman. I want to be the first to congratulate our great, now I can say, Vice President-elect of the United States, J.D. Vance. And his absolutely remarkable and beautiful wife, Usha Vance. And he is a feisty guy, isn't he? You know, I've said, go into the enemy camp. And you know, the enemy camp is certain networks. And a lot of people don't like to, sir, do I have to do that? He just goes, okay. Which one? CNN, MSDNC? He'll say, all right, thank you very much. He actually looks like, he's still like the only guy I've ever seen. He really looks forward to it. And then he just goes and absolutely obliterates that. Say a couple of words.
Wow. Well, Mr. President, I appreciate you allowing me to join you on this incredible journey. I thank you for the trust that you placed in me. And I think that we just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America. And under President Trump's leadership, we're never going to stop fighting for you, for your dreams, for the future of your children. And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to lead the greatest economic comeback in American history under Donald Trump's leadership.
Thank you very much. He's turned out to be a good choice. I took a little heat at the beginning, but he was, I knew the brain was a good one, about as good as it gets. And we love the family, and we're going to have a great 4 years, and we're going to turn our country around, make it something very special. That little thing called special, we have to make it so. We're going to make this so great. It's the greatest country and potentially the greatest country in the world by far. And right now, we're going to just work very hard to get all of that back. We're going to make it the best it's ever been. We can do that. We just, if we had to wait longer, I don't know. It was going bad, and it was going bad fast. We're going to have to seal up those borders, and we're going to have to let people come into our country. We want people to come back in, but we have to let them come back in, but they have to come in legally. They have to come in legally. Let me also express my tremendous appreciation for Susie and Chris, the job you did. Susie, come here. Come here, Susie. Chris, come here, Chris. Susie likes to stay sort of in the back, let me tell you. The Ice Maiden. We call her the Ice Maiden. Come here, Chris. Come here, Chris. Susie likes to stay in the background. She's not in the background.
This wasn't expected, but I just want to thank, obviously, President Trump for this journey. It was a great one, and he's a hell of a candidate, and he's going to be a hell of a great 47th president. And this team that we had, the best team, and, of course, even my boss, Susie Wiles, the best. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Susie. Look at her. She's shot. I've never seen her be shot before. Susie. They're great. Everybody up here is great. Everybody up here is very special. But the Trump, who did you say? Oh, let me tell you, we have a new star. A star is born, Elon. Now he is. Now he's an amazing guy. We were sitting together tonight. You know, he spent 2 weeks in Philadelphia and different parts of Pennsylvania campaigning. You know, he sent the rocket up 2 weeks ago, and I saw that rocket, and I saw it coming down. I saw it. It was, when it left, it was beautiful, shiny white. When it came down, it didn't look so pretty. It was going 10,000 miles an hour, and it was burning like hell. I said, what happened to your paint job? He said, we've never made a paint that could withstand that kind of heat. And but I saw it come down and turn around. And it was, you know, it's like 22 stories tall, by the way. It looks a little smaller than that, but it's big. And it came down and down, and you saw all that fire burning. And I'm saying, only Elon can do this. It must be an Elon. And I tell the story. I told it last night. I had a man on the phone. I had the screen muted, no sound. I was talking to a very important man, happens to be here, and that very important guy, one of the most important people in, I would say, the country, actually. But, you know, I was president, and now it looks like I was going to be maybe president again, so I figured I could ask him to hold. So I asked him to hold. And because, especially because you're going to be president again, they hold. So I took the phone down, and I'm looking at the screen. I'm seeing this crazy thing that's going around and coming down. It looks like it's going to crash into the gantry. And I said, oh, no. And I said, do me a favor. Do you mind holding for a couple of minutes? I want to see this. I thought it was a space age movie or something. I put the phone down. Bad part, I didn't pick it up for 45 minutes, and he was holding. But this spaceship came down, and I saw those engines firing, and it looked like it was over. It was going to smash, and then I saw the fire pour out from the left side, and I put it straight, and it came down so gently, and then it wrapped those arms around it, and it held it, and just like you hold your baby at night, your little baby. And it was a beautiful thing to see, and I called Elon. I said, Elon, was that you? He said, yes, it was. I said, who else can do that? Can Russia do it? No. Can China do it? No. Can the United States do it other than you? No, nobody can do that. I said, that's why I love you, Elon. That's great.
You're listening to live coverage of President-elect Donald Trump, President 45, as well, addressing supporters at campaign headquarters in Florida.
North Carolina, they were really devastated, the water. This was a big water, as big as we've ever seen, water hurricane. It built lakes out of nothing. Fields became lakes, and the danger was unbelievable. And the people from North Carolina came to me and they said, would it be possible, at all possible, for you to speak to Elon Musk? We need Starlink. I said, what's Starlink? It's a form of communication. So I called Elon, and I'll tell you what, he had, and it was very dangerous. People would die. They had no communication. All the wires were down. I called Elon Musk. I said, Elon, you have something called Starlink. Is that right? Yes, I do. What the hell is it? He said, it's a communication system that's very good. I said, Elon, they need it really, really badly in North Carolina. Can you get it? He had that there so fast, it was incredible. So, and it was great. It saved a lot of lives. He saved a lot of lives. But he's a character. He's a special guy. He's a super genius. We have to protect our geniuses. We don't have that many of them. We have to protect our super geniuses. I want to thank some of the guys. You know, we have up here today, the U.S. Open champion. He's a fantastic golfer, slightly longer than me. It's a ball a little bit longer than me. Just a little bit. Bryson DeChambeau is up here someplace. What happened to Bryson? Where is he? Bryson! Oh, he was shot. He's hitting balls. Oh, he's on the way. He's hitting balls. Bryson. Oh, look at him. He had a great, he's a, got a great career going. Great U.S. Open, Bryson. That's a fantastic job. And we also have a man, Dana White, who has done some job. He's a tough guy. So Dana started UFC and came to me. Do you mind if I use your... Nobody wanted to give him Marines because they said it's a rough sport, a little rough. And I helped him out a little bit, and I went, and I said, this is the roughest sport I've ever seen, but I began to like it, and he loved it, and nobody's done a better job in sports. And you know, he's a very motivational kind of a guy. What he does, he gets these fighters, and they really go at it. And it's become one of the most successful sports enterprises anywhere at any time. It's doing so well. I'd like to ask Dana just to say a couple of words, because people love to hear from him. Dana, please.
Nobody deserves this more than him, and nobody deserves this more than his family does. This is what happens when the machine comes after you. What you've seen over the last several years, this is what it looks like. Couldn't stop him. He keeps going forward. He doesn't quit. He's the most resilient, hardworking man I've ever met in my life. His family are incredible people. This is karma, ladies and gentlemen. He deserves this. They deserve it as a family. I want to thank some people real quick. I want to thank the Nelt boys, Aiden Ross, Theo Vaughn, Bustle with the Boys, and last but not least, the mighty and powerful Joe Rogan. And thank you, America. Thank you. Have a good night.
That is a piece of work. Now he's an amazing, he's really an amazing guy. But most of all, I want to thank the millions of hardworking Americans across the nation who have always been the heart and soul of this really great movement. We've been through so much together, and today you showed up in record numbers to deliver a victory like really, I probably like no other. This was something special, and we're gonna pay you back. We're gonna do the best job. We're going to turn it around. It's got to be turned around. It's got to be turned around fast. And we're going to turn it around. We're going to do it in every way, with so many ways, but we're going to do it in every way. This will forever be remembered as the day the American people regained control of their country. So I just want to say that on behalf of this great group of people, these are hardworking people. These are fantastic people, and we can add a few names like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He came in. And he's going to help make America healthy again. And now he's a great guy, and he really means it. He wants to do some things, and we're going to let him go to it. I just said, but, Bobby, leave the oil to me. We have more liquid gold, oil and gas. We have more liquid gold than any country in the world, more than Saudi Arabia. We have more than Russia. Bobby, stay away from the liquid gold. Other than that, go have a good time, Bobby. We're going to be paying down debt. We're going to be reducing taxes. We can do things that nobody else can do. Nobody else is going to be able to do it. China doesn't have what we have. Nobody has what we have. But we have the greatest people also. Maybe that's the most important thing. This campaign has been so historic in so many ways. We've built the biggest, the broadest, the most unified coalition. They've never seen anything like it in all of American history. They've never seen any young and old, men and women, rural and urban. And we had them all helping us tonight. When you think, I mean, I was looking at it, I was watching it. They had some great analysis of the people that voted for us. Nobody's ever seen anything like that. They came from all quarters, union, non-union, African-American, Hispanic-American, Asian-American, Arab-American, Muslim American. We had everybody, and it was beautiful. It was a historic realignment, uniting citizens of all backgrounds around a common core of common sense. You know, we're the party of common sense. We want to have borders. We want to have security. We want to have things be good, safe. We want great education. We want a strong and powerful military, and ideally we don't have to use it. You know, we had no wars. 4 years we had no wars, except we defeated ISIS. We defeated ISIS in record time, but we had no wars. They said, he will start a war. I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. But this is also a massive victory for democracy and for freedom. Together, we're going to unlock America's glorious destiny. We're going to achieve the most incredible future for our people. Yesterday, as I stood at my last stop on the campaign trail, I'll never be doing a rally again. Can you believe it? I think we've done 900 rallies approximately from the. Can you imagine? 901, something, a lot of rallies. And it was sad. Everybody was sad. Many people, I said, this is our last rally. But now we're going on to something that's far more important, because the rallies were used for us to be put in this position where we can really help our country. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make our country better than it ever has been. And I said that many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission. The task before us will not be easy, but I will bring every ounce of energy, spirit, and fight that I have in my soul to the job that you've entrusted to me. This is a great job. There's no job like this. This is the most important job in the world. Just as I did in my first term, we had a great first term, a great, great first term. I will govern by a simple motto: promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises. Nothing will stop me from keeping my word to you, the people. We will make America safe, strong, prosperous, powerful, and free again. And I'm asking every citizen all across our land to join me in this noble and righteous endeavor. That's what it is. It's time to put the divisions of the past 4 years behind us. It's time to unite. And we're going to try. We're going to try. We have to try. And it's going to happen. Success will bring us together. I've seen that. I've seen that. I saw that in the first term when we became more and more successful. People started coming together. Success is going to bring us together, and we are going to start by all putting America first. We have to put our country first for at least a period of time. We have to fix it, because together we can truly make America great again for all Americans. So I want to just tell you what a great honor this is. I want to thank you. I will not let you down. America's future will be bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than it has ever been before. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
President-elect Donald Trump just wrapping up his comments to his supporters at campaign headquarters in Florida. We'll take a break here because we've got to catch up on our breaks. James Wiggerson still in studio with me. We have lots to talk about. We certainly welcome your texts. If you have questions or comments, just text them to the WTMJ Talking Text Line, 855-616-1620. We'll also give you the latest results that we know when it comes to some of the races in the state of Wisconsin and beyond. That's all coming up on 620 WTMJ Decision Wisconsin. You're listening to Decision Wisconsin Late Night Edition. Steve Scavini, host of the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. I'll be back tomorrow, 9 to 11, special expanded edition of the show. And first hour is going to be me commenting on what is taking place tonight across this country. Joining me in studio for the next probably half hour or so, James Wiggerson, conservative writer, frequent guest on the program. Let's tee this up. One of the things that the president said in his opening remarks to his supporters was he's going to help our country heal.
Well, I will say it was a much more gracious,
mild-mannered compared to what he normally does,
and certainly better than what I had expected. He only referred to the media as the enemy once,
just one time,
yeah. Just the one time. But as far as making the country heal, I'm going to be skeptical on that, and we'll wait to see what comes next.
I mean, there's still a lot of votes to be counted, but I mean, the electoral map, what I'm looking at on CNN, it's 266, but most people assume Trump's over that by now, and this might be a little delayed. 195 for Harris. It for all intents and purposes, the presidential race is over. He might even win the popular vote, James. He had a pretty substantial lead going there.
Yeah, at this point, he is leading in the popular vote. He may actually do the one thing that he claimed that he did in 2016, but he didn't really do yeah. win the popular vote.
So he's going to be right for a change. All right, and one of the things that we want to talk about is this U.S. Senate race. It's a lot of great news for Republicans, but that race is not over, James Wagnerson.
No, what I'm seeing online is that the lead that Hovde has right now could be erased by the votes still coming in from Milwaukee and Green Bay and some other Democratic areas. We're probably heading into recount territory. It's going to be really close, and that's why you haven't seen either side declare victory yet. There's not going to be an overwhelming victory tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a recount either way.
Yeah, whenever they're that close, you're almost certainly guaranteed of that. So we'll monitor that race. We'll give you an update on a lot of the other races. Once James takes off, I'm going to certainly welcome your text. We'll comment on that. I've got a lot to say about the election, and we'll get to all of that. And I'll certainly have some comments about what the former president, now president-elect Donald Trump, has said about this race. And as I said before, 855-616-1620 is the best way to get a hold of me. I'll be here till 5, and then Vince and Eric, and they'll probably jump in before that. Vince and Eric will be doing an expanded edition of Wisconsin Morning News, and they've got a lot to talk about with all the exciting developments. And a bunch of texters said, how you doing, Steve? And I said, you know what, I'm good. I'm not a Donald Trump fan, but I'm always an optimist when it comes to these things. And if he says he wants to help the country heal and move the country forward, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on election nights across America. I think we have to do that, right?
I agree. We have to recognize that there's going to be another election in 4 years. We need to all recognize that we're going to have to come together as Americans and hope for the best. And we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, more James, more me. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.